Good evening, everyone. Welcome to part two of Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. I am so excited because tonight my pal, my friend, John Gilstrap is with me. John has a new book out in his Jonathan Graves series called Final Target. I'm going to talk to him about this tonight. It is an amazing book. I don't know. Jonathan Graves is his nickname is the Scorpion. Maybe it's because I'm a Scorpio that I love this book so much. But John, welcome to the show. Back again. How are you?
Oh, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. It's my favorite place to be.
You're a doll. You know, I want to tell everyone that last December you were named the series award, the novella award winner of the year for your Nick of Time books, which were absolutely spectacular. Congratulations, and thank you for spending your time with me tonight.
Oh, well, yeah, like I said, I can't imagine being anyplace else. It's always great to get the invitation.
You're the best. You're the best. So, you know, here's what I found out about this book. The last book, the Jonathan Graves series, was kind of almost, you could see a different side of Jonathan. He was kind of, I don't know, laughing, lighthearted, until he got into the meat of the case. In this book, Final Target, Jonathan and Boxers are dropped right into the Mexican desert, and this is dead freaking serious, John. This is so dead freaking serious that if there's a cluster to be had, it's happened in the Mexican jungle. Everything happens from jump, and it's not good. What a freaking change from last book to this one. What happened?
Well, I mean, it all depends on where the story begins. In this case, in Friendly Fire, the previous book, Jonathan didn't become part of the story until probably, you know, page 30 or 35.
Right.
In this one, it's right by God, page one, line one, and they're up against greater odds. You know, they're more bad guys than good guys, and all they've got going for them is stealth and marksmanship. And they end up trusting, they're on what they think is a government-sponsored mission to rescue a DEA agent, and then it turns out that they've been set up. So their entire exfiltration plan disappears on them. And they're stuck out in the middle of the Mexican jungle. And this, lest readers think I'm giving anything away, we're now at page 10. It's a slapdash beginning.
Here's the interesting thing. I like the way that your books unfold because generally you're kind of like peeling away the layers. This one, you're coring the apple. You went right in there and Jonathan and Boxers assume that this is going to be a simple exfil. It is not. It is anything but. And their PC, which you call the precious cargo, and that's their target to rescue, can't figure out what the hell is going on and why it is that everyone wants him dead. Not only does this op go wrong, this op goes wrong from jump. The guy who's supposed to meet them at the expo location has disappeared and eventually winds up dead. It seems like they're working against everybody. Is Jonathan Graves wearing out his welcome?
Well, I mean, that's the, if not in my heart.
not in mine, you know, either, I have to tell you.
Jonathan is that guy who...
Yeah.
He's, as I say, he's on the side of the angels, but he's always pushing against really hard forces, doing the work that the government can't do, or sometimes uncovering the operations that the government doesn't want you to know. But, you know, there are folks, and there's a reveal in Final Target now that Gail Bonneville has a very special enemy. Can't do what he does and what they do and not collect enemies. It's sort of the Newtonian physics of hostage rescue, I guess. For every good deed, there's an equal and opposite bad guy, you know?
You know what I find interesting about your characters is that you have a Catholic priest who plays a very important, maybe not necessarily a huge role, but an important pivotal role in every single book. Will you tell us about that character?
Sure. He's actually based, I can't say his real name, but he's actually based on a friend of mine. I'm Catholic, and the most influential priest very influential in my life because he was very real, and he understands, he's still with us. Life is not the black and white that a lot of churches want you to believe it is. I mean, it's not just good and evil. People live in gray spaces. And sometimes, you got to hurt people to make good things happen. Now, Dom D'Angelo is the Father Dom in the book. He's sort of that character on steroids. But, he and Jonathan have known each other since college, their freshman year in college. And Dom was going to follow Jonathan into the Army, and then he got a different call. And he joined the priesthood, and Jonathan and Dom have been dear friends ever since. And Jonathan depends on him. I mean, Jonathan is, there's a pretty high body count in my books, but they all extract a little chunk of Jonathan's soul with him. And Jonathan needs Dom in his life. That's, it's not so much. And Dom isn't always the one to give absolution, but he's certainly there to talk.
You know what I find interesting, John, is that your characters are so different and so well-defined unto themselves. It is very rare when I'm reading a thriller where there are multiple characters who shift from book to book in a series like yours, that they retain their own personality, their own style, their own... I don't know. What is it? They don't meld into one. They are so different. And is Father Dom Jonathan's conscience, do you think? Is he the angel on the right side of a box, maybe is the devil on the left side?
He's the one. Father Dom is also a psychologist. He's the one that he can't bless what Jonathan does all the time because Jonathan doesn't do bad things. He's always on the side of the angels. That's the buzz phrase.
But he does some hurtful things.
He does.
Things. Yeah.
But always for the right reason. I mean, Jonathan lives by a very strict moral code, and Dom, I think, is the truth test. Did I go too far? In Against All Enemies, which was 3 books ago.
It was a great book, too.
By International Thriller Writers Association. Throw that out. And Jonathan
Authors
and
on
his
the
team.
Air, who loved you for Nick of Time.
But, Jonathan's team, not Jonathan, but his team, really crossed the line in that. And
yeah.
Dom helped him cope. You can't undo it. You can't pull the torpedo back, but you can try to find a way to keep going despite the bad things that have happened. That's what Dom's role is.
So here's what I love about your books. You do not move on to a next mission with Jonathan, a.k.a. the Scorpion and Boxers, without Jonathan losing a piece of himself or having such an amazing, guilt trip, a self-analysis. What is it? You don't spare him any of that. You make him get that what he's doing is sometimes very brutal and very painful and maybe not so nice. Why is that, John?
Well, there's a couple of things here. I think that, first of all, the negativity does not define him. He recognizes that he's doing a job, it's an ugly job, and what's done is done, and you got to move on. And I think a lot of that, quite honestly, you know, I hate to talk about myself in terms of the books, but, you know, an author, you can't write a book that's not in some measure yourself. And as you know, I was in the fire and rescue service for 15 years.
Yes.
And, you know, and you see stuff and you do stuff and you make mistakes. I've made some horrendous mistakes. They came from an honest place, but it's like, you know, wow, that didn't work. And you move on because that's your job is to make it work. And what I've found, I haven't ridden a fire truck now in probably 16, 17 years, but I rode them solidly for 15 years. And a lot of that stuff is just now coming back to me. You know, the stuff that has been... Oh, yeah.
In what way?
Dreams.
Really?
You know, it's that thing that...
I wish I didn't know I should have done.
Well, it's the thing.
Right.
You got to call the ball, you know, and you do it, and more times than not, thank God, it works well, and you save lives, and you save buildings, and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes, you know, you guess wrong, and people die, and that's the stuff you can put away while you're doing it real time. But now it just comes back in these little shadows periodically, and I find it stunning that hard shell that was out in front of me for all those years, now getting kind of soft and squishy. And so I think some of that goes into Jonathan, you know, that he's done a lot of good works that have left a lot of blood behind. And
but there's collateral damage. Yes. Yeah,
there is, but he hasn't gone to alcoholism. Yeah. He hasn't, you know, those fictional tropes of the people who can't, he deals with it because that's what a professional does. You know, it's there. You work through it.
Yeah. I want to let listeners know, John Gilstrap is my guest. He's also my friend, and I will admit that very happily, and I love it. If you want to talk to John, give us a call at 347-633-9609. First caller, I'm gifting you the new book, Final Target. John, one of the things that I like about your series is that boxers who is the loyal friend, the loyal, I don't know, best friend, but he also has a very different perspective on missions than Jonathan does. Let's talk about boxers. And I never have been able to say his name.
Brian Van Mueller Brocky.
There you go. I have no idea where that came from, so maybe you can go ahead and share that information with us. And then let's talk about boxers and who he is, because I know that he's a badass, but he's also a gentle giant, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Van Mueller Brocky was the very first person I met in the fire service. And back then it was very funny because your last name was stenciled on the back of your running coat. So his name actually started at the front on the left and went all the way around to the front on the right.
All the way around. Right. Love that.
But he looked nothing like, Boxers is actually based on, the character itself is based on an amalgam of people that I've known over the years. But Boxers is the guy that is laser focused. He's kind of the mission conscience. You know, he's the one that says, you know, in this case, in Final Target, they get wrapped up in just because things go bad, their actions, Jonathan and the PC, and you know, their actions have endangered an orphanage. So now, instead of getting out with one person, Jonathan is proposing that they're going to get out with an orphanage full of kids, and Boxers is the one that says,
and Boxers pissed. He's pissed.
Yeah,
he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. We're going to get our job is the PC, and we're going to get him killed because we're doing all this other stuff. And, you know, and Jonathan, you know, it's at one level, Boxers is playing a bluff because we've established in previous books that he has a soft spot for kids. And for reasons I know, but no reader does. And because it hasn't been revealed yet, but Boxers is is that guy. And once the decision is made that we're going to do this, it's like, well, damn it, then let's do it. And let's leave as big a hole in the world as we can as we're getting out. You know, there's no such thing as too much explosives for boxers.
Well, that's true. So you just said something that piqued my interest. You and I have known each other for a lot of years now, but you just said something that boxers has a soft spot for kids, and mm-hmm. only you know that. Are we going to learn about that?
If I can figure out a way to write it, yes. You know, there are details that are important to me, important to the character and who they are, but
yes.
where the reveal stops the story. You know, that kind of backstory has to be organic to the plot, where the book just
right.
sort of stops. So,
you and I
and I haven't figured out a way to do
before.
That.
We've talked about peeling the layers away from not only Jonathan, but from boxers. And you know your characters very, very well. You know their backstory. But you only release a little bit of information to us as readers in every new book. Will we ever find out, John?
Well, I mean, ever's a long time. There's many, many books to come. Here's the thing, from my perspective, and this goes to the business side as well as the creative side. The
sure.
way my books are structured, the PC, the precious cargo, those who are in danger, they have
yes.
a complete story arc. They have a beginning, middle, and
yes.
end during the course of the book, because that's, for the most part, sometimes they come back, but for the most part, they live their literary life within one book. Jonathan and Boxers and Dom and Vinice and, you know, the others, they live on from book to book. So that reveal has to be a very slow drip. Otherwise, you end up revealing it all, and
that's no good.
Yeah.
Right.
So
let's talk about Vinice. Vinice is probably the most interesting character in any thriller I've ever read, because Vinice is so different from anyone, yet she's critical to your stories. Will you tell listeners about Vinice and
sure.
her spelling, the spelling of her name, and how she came into being? She's a beautiful, fabulous, wonderful character.
Thank you.
The most
Thank
unique
you.
I know. You're welcome.
Vinice is spelled like the city Venice, and she decided, again, this is a reveal from the next book, which Scorpion Strike comes out in 2018.
I love that.
But she, you know, she thought it was a boring name, so as a teenager, she decided to change Venice to Vinice, you know, just because it sounds so much better, and it stuck. I mean, it's really, that's it. But her mother is Florence, and her son is Roman, so there's sort of an Italian theme within the naming of their family, because Vinice's mom, Mama Alexandra, Florence Alexandra,
right.
was actually Jonathan's housekeeper and surrogate mom when he was growing up after
right.
his mother died. Jonathan's dad is in prison. He's a crime boss, but that goes way back to the early books. So Vinice has wicked skills with the
She has wicked mad skills on a computer. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is the hacker extraordinaire. And Vinice is an African American woman. She's young.
Yep.
She's amazing. And Jonathan calls her Mother Hen, right?
Well, that's her radio name, right? The code name.
And it's so perfect, because she is every much a part of every mission that the Scorpion and Boxes go on. She's critical, as a matter of fact, to the mission because of her hacking skills, correct?
Yes, and again, another conscience. She had the backstory on Vinice, again revealed in previous books, she had a crush on Jonathan when... she was much. There's quite an age gap between the two, and now she's sort of runs the place for all intents and purposes. Jonathan doesn't give a crap about taming electrons. That's not his focus. He has a much
Now it's
more
gone.
Much larger view of getting things done. And he leans on her, and he also teases her. I mean, they don't. They have this. Their relationship, I find very. I love writing their relationship. There's nothing romantic there. There's maybe, you know, occasional tension, but
no. But it's great, isn't it? Isn't it fun?
Is. And Venice is very much based on assistance that I have had in my past, because I'm an organizational nightmare. So back
you
when
are.
I had big boy jobs,
you're an organizational fanatic. Let's take a call, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
Area code 620. You're live on the air. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Pam. It's me, Terry Coop. How you doing, Mr. Gilstrap?
There you go.
I am very well.
There you, we were just talking about you before the show. There you go, Terry. Take it away. just let me say, this is Carrie Lynn Coop from the Blue Plate Special Podcast, part of the Office on the Air Global Radio Network. Go right ahead, Terry.
I just wanted to say hi to you. It's been forever since I've talked to you, and congratulate you on the new book.
Thank you very much. Last time was at a Writers Police Academy, wasn't it?
It was either Police Academy or BoucherCon. I can't remember which was the order
okay.
that they were in. But again, just congratulations on the new book. And you're going to come on my show?
Absolutely. If invited, I shall be there.
I will, as I firm the schedule up, I will definitely, and we can talk about big guns and big tech and all that kind of stuff.
All right. That's, you know, oh, no, really talk about guns. Please say it's not so.
Oh, yes, we will. Absolutely. And here, I want to just kind of, you know, John is laughing and Terry's laughing and all, but John and I are so on opposite sides of the political spectrum, but we've found commonality. And this is kind of like, I think, a lesson, right, John, that
sure.
when you talk to someone just one-to-one, you find out that there are a lot of things we have in common and that we can agree on. And so my friend John Gilstrap, who is a weapons expert, it's part of his job, it's part of his passion, has advised me on a lot of things. Right, John?
Yeah.
Oh, me as well. I know John is one of the guys I can go to when I can say, what would this person carry in this situation in this particular time period? And I know I'm going to get a good answer for it.
And
but
I know
want
to go ahead. And I know that the NSA, if they're paying attention to my emails, are going, who is this guy?
I want to say that
one of the things that, and most people know this about me, I'm a survivor of a very brutal, violent attack that left me with very little feeling in my fingers and hands. And I've gone to my friend John and I've said, okay, if I want to protect myself, what kind of gun or weapon do I need to have? And John has very kindly advised me on what I need to have. And his best friend, Revis Wortham, who I also adore. John and Revis are great people. Terry, thank you for calling in. Can I send you a copy of John's book?
Oh, would you please? And I will be talking to you soon, John.
Okay, look forward
you
to
will.
It. That'll be great.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Terry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you, Terry.
Tell us where we can find you on the webs, John.
Anything that has the word John Gilstrap or the phrase John Gilstrap in it. I am at John Gilstrap on Twitter, johngilstrap.com. John@johngilstrap.com is my email address. I have a new I have a new YouTube channel called It's Author
do
John
really?
Gilstrap. I do, and I talk
really?
About, I sort of peel back the onion on the publishing business, the publishing and writing business,
I
and
love
how
that.
Editing works and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's author John Gilstrap.
I love
on
that.
YouTube.
I want to say that my friend John, if you send him a message, if you send him an email, he's going to answer himself. He does not have an assistant who does this canned response, so please go. Look on Book Review Crew on Facebook. I posted my review of the new book, Final Hour. You can also find it on Amazon. Getting rave reviews, as always. John, you know you're my pal. I love talking to you. Can't
it's
wait to see
great.
You again. Thanks so much for being with me.
It's my
pleasure.
Tomorrow
night, listeners, I'm going to be talking to Scott Turow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a brief conversation. Please join me. But in the meantime, go and get John Gilstrap's book, Final Target. John, thank you so much. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night, everybody.